District heating is a technical solution used for space heating and domestic hot water preparation, and also for heat to industrial processes. It is quite commonly used in Europe, in the Scandinavian countries, for example, and on other places like Baltic countries, China, Russia, and South Korea. But it's not that widely used in North America, in the USA, and in Canada.
But things are changing. And today we talk about how the city of Burnaby and Metro Vancouver in Canada are developing competitive district heating. It is also quite interesting to hear their plans for financing the project and how they engage with stakeholders.
I am Kerstin Sandhed, working as a researcher and a senior lecturer within the district heating or energy field at Lund University in Sweden. And I will be the host of this podcast. And with me today, I have some prominent guests from Burnaby Municipality that are key persons in the district energy project in Burnaby. We have James Slaughter, that is general manager for land and facilities in Burnaby. And you are the project leader of the Burnaby project. Welcome, James.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
And we have also Camilla Hristova. And you are an architect and you are in charge of development at Burnaby Municipality. Welcome to you, Camilla.
Thank you.
Nice to have you here. I have heard that about 2% of the heating needs in Canada are provided with district heating. Why doesn't Canada have more district heating? I mean, with a cold climate and some densely populated city as you have, wouldn't it make sense to have district heating? James, what do you say?
Yeah, so Kerstin, that's a good question. And the main reason why, especially in British Columbia, district heating isn't that prominent is because we have an abundant supply of electricity and natural gas at quite affordable rates. And so it's very hard for any kind of other heating or fueling system to compete with that when we've got such easy access to a domestic supply of clean hydroelectricity and natural gas. Also, you know, a lot of those big infrastructure programs are funded by the province and the federal government. And so local governments like ourselves, we're a little bit handcuffed in trying to develop these large infrastructure projects to compete with, like I said, the cheap and affordable and abundant hydroelectricity and natural gas.
Yeah, I understand. And Camilla, do you agree?
Yes, that's one of the reasons, but also the European cities are smaller and denser than the Canadian cities, and you have more customers in high density areas, which means less infrastructure and less capital. And a better return on investment as well. Also in Europe, we can trace the roots of district energy system back to Roman baths and greenhouses, and also in France in 14th century, where they had hot water distribution system provided for around 30 houses. So that's also that use of the systems back historically helps as well.
Mm-hmm. So you mean that it's both, I mean, it's the business model where you have cheap other energy, and it's also a tradition, I guess, then, of how you build things. So your municipality, Burnaby, actually works for district heating. James, where does this drive come from?
So a few years ago, our mayor and council declared a climate emergency where they wanted the city to be carbon neutral in its operations by 2040 and carbon neutral as a community by 2050. Mm-hmm. And so we've been investigating ways to accomplish that, those targets. And as I said before, even though we've got, you know, access to clean hydroelectricity, the distribution system wouldn't support all the growth that we're expecting, that the city's expecting to grow about 1% every year for the next foreseeable future. And with that population growth and electric vehicles and all that, the supply of electricity, just the distribution system can't support that. And so we're looking for other ways to supply the heating needs and the energy needs of the community. And so we started looking around and we found a waste heat source. So there's Metro Vancouver, who's our regional government here in the Lower Mainland around Vancouver. They operate a waste energy facility where they incinerate our solid waste. And right now we're not using that heat, that waste heat source to its fullest. And so we're, and we know there's lots of examples of capturing that waste heat from incineration all around the world. And so we're looking to duplicate that here to heat all of the southern half of our city.
So you're actually making use of waste incineration that you already have, and you take the excess heat.
Correct.
So that will be the main supply for the system. Can you tell us a little bit more about the system? What kind of customers do you have, and how big will it be?
Sure. So it's planned to be a 66 megawatt system. And it'll serve all kinds of customers in the southern half of our city. So over 30,000 customers, from residential customers to commercial to industrial. It's a high temperature system. So anyone that can use the high temperature water up to 66 megawatts is who we're looking to serve.
Okay. Camelia, what does this energy project mean from the development of the city of Burnaby in a wider perspective?
The district energy system will reduce the demand on the power grid. This will be a centralized system that will be efficient. It will reduce, like for the residential building and other customers, will reduce the building maintenance equipment. Will not require for the buildings to have a heavy equipment investment upfront. And also all these buildings will have a backup. We will provide a backup system for our district energy system, which is also important for the customers.
Yeah, sure. So this is a big project that will affect many stakeholders. They might have some concerns, I don't know. So how have you communicated with the different stakeholders? Can you first give some insight on what kind of stakeholders there is?
I can start. So absolutely, there's going to be a lot of stakeholders that we have to consult with. So first of all, are the developers who we're going to be, district, as you said at the beginning of the podcast, district energy is pretty new in the region. And so having our architects and engineers design their new buildings to accept this new energy source, there's a lot of coordination with them. Residents, just understanding how, hot water can be an energy source rather than electrical wires or natural gas pipelines. That's a novel concept that we have to educate the public on, and also the use of waste heat from incineration. Mm-hmm. How that in and of itself is a clean and sustainable way to get a reliable source of energy to heat your homes. So. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything else to add, Camelia, on that?
We are targeting retrofitting existing buildings that operate on gas, and that's also part of our strategy.
Mm-hmm. Are they worried? I mean, the ones who are upgrading the systems or changing their systems?
They might some worries about that, but that might give them opportunity to upgrade their also some of their distribution electrical and mechanical systems. Mm-hmm. Especially for older buildings, and which might have opportunity for some grants. That will be especially that's another challenge that with the help of the local and the provincial and the government, we might just be able to help these older buildings to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions.
Yeah. And what other stakeholders are there?
Well, the environmental groups are another stakeholder to make sure that they understand that what we're doing is sustainable and in line with the province's goals. Also, the local utilities. So BC Hydro, who's the local electric utility, and Fortis BC, making sure that they understand that this isn't in competition with them, but it is. In fact, we're partners with them, trying to help achieve the province's climate action goals. That, you know, BC Hydro, for example, you know, the main source of electricity is hydropower, and so it's clean. But they have a challenge in getting distribution lines to get all that power to where it needs to be. And this is one of those things that we can work with them to make sure that, you know, to shave peaks so that we can work with them on peak shaving projects. We can work with them to maybe take over applications that aren't necessarily well suited to electricity, like, for example, space heating. For example, it's probably best served through hot water distribution rather than electrical wires, where so then the electricity can be conserved and used for other things like electric vehicles or running your computers and things like that. So we want to structure this as a partnership with local utilities, and we don't want them to see us as competitors, but rather, like I said, partners to cooperate in achieving the province's goals.
And would you say, is it seen as an advantage that it is a municipality that is driving this development?
I would say so. And it ties into what Camellia was saying before about there being concerns about, you know, like the reliability, the safety, the cost of it, that, you know, especially if there's a government entity that's starting it and rolling it out. I think it gives people comfort that there's a solid a local government with a good reputation there to address any concerns that might come up. And so rather than, you know, like a private entity that may or may not be around in the next, a few years, that they have a strong, solid government entity backing this project. I think it helps, especially when you're starting it up.
Yeah, I see. What expectations have you met from different stakeholders?
I would say that the main one is cost. Most people are concerned about cost. Developers are mainly concerned with, will this increase the cost of their developments? Will it increase the cost of housing? You know, will it increase the cost of energy? Those are the main concerns that we have to get around. And then, of course, after that, the safety, reliability, and sustainability of the energy. But most of the concerns we're hearing up front are around cost.
Okay. So what do you tell them?
I've been in the district energy business for over 20 years. And this is probably one of the first ones that I've seen where the forecasted energy rates are quite competitive with electricity. And the main reason why that is because we have such high quality energy source, a high quality, reliable, like 24/7 energy source, very close to a high density a populated area where there's businesses, residents, commercial businesses ready to accept the heat. And because of the proximity of the energy source to the load, the rates, the forecasted rates on the system are competitive with our already affordable hydroelectricity and natural gas.
So James, one question that I think many would like to know is, how are you financing the project?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. In the beginning, we're hoping to finance the project just ourselves. Local municipalities here, especially in Canada, the methods that they can fund projects and raise revenue are quite limited. We've had the benefit that previous councils have been quite fiscally responsible. And so we have reserves built up from development in Burnaby. So as the population has grown, we've built up reserves from developers who pay into community benefit reserves. And so we're hoping to finance it through that initially. As the system grows and it becomes bigger and bigger, there are plans to roll this out into a corporation still owned by the city, but a private corporation that can now access the private market for equity and raise money that way. I should also mention that half the system will be financed and built by Metro Vancouver. So Metro Vancouver will build the transmission system, and then we'll build the distribution system. But it's both pieces of the system are forecast to be in the hundreds of millions of dollars, which we will continually finance through development contributions, but also, like I said, through accessing private equity markets when we finally get around to rolling it out into a wholly owned corporation by the city.
Mm. Has it been hard to put the partners together in this?
It has. As I mentioned before, we're quite proud of this partnership that we've been able to develop with Metro Vancouver. It's probably one of the more complicated and intimate ones amongst two different governments and different levels of government. And so we've been working for years with Metro Vancouver on this, and we've come to that point where we feel that it's mutually beneficial for both our governments. So there's that, but finding partners to do the private equity, we think that because it is actually a good business case, I think some of the private market has recognized it, and because we're quite a stable local government with a good reputation, we've actually been approached by some private entities who are looking to partner with us on it. And so, and as I said, yeah, so it's good. All the indications are good. We've been fielding a lot of calls. And so we're hopeful that when we finally get to that point of rolling out into a private corporation or a wholly owned corporation by the city, that we'll have a lot of private partners who are willing and excited to work with us.
Camelia, from an architect's perspective, what the pros and cons do you see with district heating?
So one of the benefits for the building is that they save space in terms of the equipment. You don't have that heavy equipment that you, as I also mentioned before, to maintain. You also have this distribution system that is once built in these dense developments, it can be used later, maybe for a different type of heating and cooling. And that's also kind of like important that today is water, maybe tomorrow there will be a different way we do it, but the distribution system is already there in these dense communities. It's also that backup for the system, that centralized energy centers will provide in case something happened. That is also very important that the residents and the industrial and other users, they won't they will be able to have a continuous hot water and heating in their buildings, regardless if something happened to the main supplier. Also, a social aspect of that can be like plug into the our project also will be important part and contributing to our communities as well. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
We are working on a project together that investigates the social sustainability aspect of district heating. And interviews with stakeholders in Burnaby have revealed new insights here. And we can't wait to tell you more about that in the next podcast. But for now, my final question is this.
What are the next steps for the district heating project in Burnaby now?
So the next steps are implementation. We're hoping to get started construction later this year. So actually have shovels in the ground. And we're just trying to tie up the last few agreements that we have to do with Metro Vancouver. So Just for clarity, that this district energy system is actually a partnership between Burnaby and Metro Vancouver. So okay. Metro Vancouver owns the energy source. And so Metro Vancouver, they're part of it. Well, they'll be building the transmission lines from the incinerator to our town centers. And then Burnaby will be building the distribution system from those town centers out to each of the individual buildings. Okay. And so from that perspective, it's actually a cost sharing because, roughly Metro Vancouver will build half the system, and then Burnaby will build the other half, which is quite novel for governments, local governments, to be cooperating on this level. And so we're quite proud of the fact that we've been able to get this far in the partnership. And the work that we're doing with you on the social sustainability, that will be huge for rolling this out, because I think our next, like the biggest challenge is the public education. So as we go into construction, people will start to see it's quite real. And so they'll have to see all the benefits of of this energy, not only that it's affordable and clean, but all the other social benefits that it brings in equity, diversity, sustainability, energy security, all these things that that we know, that you know better than us because you've been doing district energy longer than we have, all these social benefits that they bring. We want to make sure that everyone locally here in Vancouver and North America finally see that district energy can be and should be part of the solution as we look to decarbonize.
That sounds promising, I think. What do you say, Camelia? Do you have any last...
I think we're very excited. We are working on the preliminary designs and we are getting ready for the moment that we will have all the agreements in place to start working. And we are also planning multiple events in some of our libraries, like having a station explaining the project, getting everybody excited. And we cannot wait to continue working with you on these sustainable on these social aspects of our system as well. And we are excited that this year we can start.
Ah, that's nice. So to summarize, I hear you say that the driver for you starting with district heating has been this environmental part, and also that you can see a business model. But you also say that you have social aspects of it.
Yes, definitely.
So with that, I will end this, and I will thank you, James and Camelia, for being here and talk to us about your exciting project.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you. Bye now.